July 13th, Sharmanidhi Dharma, Chapter 1. Bhaktyavainaya paradalakshay chiptasya kamaditarangamarye kripamaitvam sharanam prapadyam prinde namaste charanaravindam tuvaivasmi na jivami tam vina iti vigyaye radhe tam nayamam charanantike. First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupai Astotira Satisri Shrimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Astotira Satisri Shrimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So I'm happy to be with you all today, and now we'll be starting the first of an expected 40 classes on Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sri Jaiva Dharma. Every class will be one chapter, and the first course will be the first five chapters, and then after that there will be the next five chapters. I'm not exactly sure what date the next five chapters will start, but your web moderator, Achyuta Krishna Prabhu, will let you know about that. So you've all received the syllabus, which is the summary of each class. And as you know, today's class will be discussing the glories of Navadvip, how Sannyasi Thakur from Kasi met Prem Das Paramahamsa Babaji, then how the two of them met the Shiksha Guru of Paramahamsa Babaji, and then how gradually Sannyasi Thakur became familiar with his spiritual identity as a Manjari, and then his questions. Now we get into some very deep philosophy. He's asking, what is actual religion? What is the constitutional dharma of the soul? What is eternal religion? What is temporary religion? What is irreligion? Because if we don't know these things, then we might take irreligion for religion and engage in some activities that are detrimental to us. Sannyasi Thakur also inquired, what is the svabhava or true nature of the person, the soul? What is the nisarga, the distorted nature? What is a real substance and what is a false substance? Then, after that, the nature of the pure soul, the function of the pure soul, is discussed, especially in relation to two special verses that our Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev both discuss on so many occasions, which is the main verse of the entire Jaiva Dharma. Jaiva Dharma is based on this verse. Jivera Sarupa Hai Krishnera Nitya Das Krishnera Tatastha Shakti Beta Beta Prakash. That is, the constitutional nature of the jiva is to be an eternal servant of Sri Krishna. He is the marginal potency of Krishna, and he is a manifestation, simultaneously one with him and different from him. Then the next important verse, how the jiva forgot Krishna, and what were the results, the bad results of us forgetting Krishna. And the last topic in the first chapter is what are the various potencies of Krishna and how we fit into those potencies. So first, just a little brief mention of how we'll be doing this class. First today we'll discuss very briefly Srila Gurudev's...
What?
Did you say something? What?
I can't hear you.
What are you saying? Hello? Five what? Oh, you're not talking to me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll continue. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So first, just today, we'll be discussing very briefly Srila Gurudev's preface and just touching on the introduction of Jiva Dharma, which was given by Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, our Param Gurudev. Now, I think you all have with you the Jiva Dharma, and many of you have already read it, and many of you are in the process of reading it now. So, I'm not going to be going over the book sentence by sentence. That you can get from your own reading, or that you can get, and I hope you will get, from Sripad Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Maharaj's CD, where he's dramatically reading the Jiva Dharma, word for word, with very beautiful music in the background. So what we'll be doing, at least for the first couple of chapters especially, is sharing with you Srila Gurudev's further elaboration on the points of the chapters. So first, in Srila Gurudev's preface, he explains that Jiva Dharma is just like a priceless ornament for the world. He says that the author, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is one of the most confidential associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's considered the seventh Goswami after the sixth Goswami. He reinstated the flow of pure bhakti and gave the world what was lost for a very long time after our acharyas like the six Goswamis and Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur, Baladev Bidyabhusan. This was lost for some time, and so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed the mission that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had for the world, and thus ushered in a new era in philosophy and religion. Then, in Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami's introduction, he explains the history of how this book came to be. He said that his disciple, very near and dear disciple, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, was first engaged in publishing the various chapters of Jiva Dharma in his Hindi magazine called Bhagavat Patrika. And this took a period of 6 years to complete all the different articles that he wrote on Jiva Dharma. Then, by the repeated request of many faithful readers of Jiva Dharma, Srila Gurudev decided to turn those articles into a book. Now, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me? Have you been hearing me? Yes, Hare Krishna. Can you hear me? Hare Krishna, can you hear me? Yes. Have you been hearing me all along? You heard everything, Vinay Krishna Prabhu? Continue from where I ended. Okay. Hare Krishna. So, towards the end of his introduction, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Goswami Maharaj glorifies the publisher and translator from the original Bengali to Hindi. He's glorifying Srila Gurudev. He said that Srila Gurudev actually learned Bengali just in order to study this book. After thoroughly mastering both the language and the subject matter, he accepted the difficulty and substantial labor of translating it into Hindi. Then Param Gurudev says, I'm very pleased at heart that he has very expertly preserved the rigorous philosophy. Can you hear me? Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
You're now unmuted.
Can you hear me now? Hare Krishna?
Yes.
Okay. So, Param Gurudev says, I'm very pleased at heart that he has expertly preserved the rigorous philosophy, the deeply profound analysis of Rus, and the lofty and subtle moods of the original book. And the whole world will remain ever indebted to him for this monumental work. In particular, Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur will definitely bestow great mercy on him for his tireless service. So we can see how Srila Gurudev has all the mercy of his predecessor acharyas. So now we'll begin the first chapter of Jiva Dharma, and in the beginning, Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sets the scene. He's showing the significance of where this pastime of the book is actually taking place. That is in Navadvip, in Sri Godrum Dweep, which is the highest place in the universe. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins that within the world, the island of Jambudweep is excellent, and in Jambudweep, the land of Bharatvarsha is eminent, and within Bharatvarsha, the topmost place is Godabhumi. Now, this kind of vocabulary makes the whole thing quite closed to us. So Srila Gurudev very kindly opens it up by explaining that within this whole universe, the Earth planet is the most superior. There are millions and billions of planets and suns and moons and twinkling stars, And it may be that some of the stars are even greater than the suns and moons. But the earth is superior to all of them. And why is that? It's because Krishna and Ram and his other incarnations appeared on this earth. Now within the earth, the most superior place is Jambudvip. There are seven islands on the earth, and the most superior is Jambudvip. In Jambudvip, there's a very, very big tree of jambu, or blackberries. And this is a black tree. And actually, Gurudev says, actually, this tree is Vrindavan's tamal tree. And the tamal is actually tamal Krishna. Krishna is there in Jambudvip. And in Jambudvip, the most superior place is Bharatvarsha. Now, I'm sure that this description doesn't sound like the same planet that you learned about in your school. And it's not the same planet. This is the actual planetary situation as described in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you can read that just as a side, it'll familiarize you with what's actually happening in the universe. So in Jambudvip, the most superior place is Bharatvarsha. First Bharatvarsha was called Ilavati Varsha, but due to Bharat Maharaj, you know Bharat Maharaj who became attached to the deer, due to him, this place became known as Bharatvarsha. Then within Bharatvarsha, Gaudabhumi is the most superior place. In Gaudabhumi there are five tracts of land, and each tract of land is in between certain rivers. One tract of land is in between the Jamuna and the Sindhu, in Punjab, and there's a land between the Ganges and the Jamuna, in Kanyakubja, that's the second. Then there's land passing through Ayodhya between the Ganges and the Gomati, where Shaligram is found. And the third is Goda. The place which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took place is the is called Goda. And among the five Goda Bhumis, Navadvip is the best place. So why is Navadvip the best place? Because it's non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. Another name for Navadvip is Swetadvip. And Swetadvip is a section within Goloka Vrindavan. It's a hexagonal shaped abode where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs his Astakaliya Leela, his 24-hour-a-day pastimes, which within himself, in his heart, coincide with the 24-hour-a-day pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Also, the 12 forests of Vrindavan are all included within Navadvip in different places. And particularly, Godrumdvip, which is the setting of the scene of Sri Jiva Dharma, that place is Nandagaon, where Krishna would go cowherding every day and where he lived with Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, and where Radharani would come every day for cooking. The Brahmins who say their Gayatri mantras say Kleem Goraya. Goraya means that Lord Chaitanya who lives in Navadvip, not Jagannath Puri and not Godavari. So Navadvip is the superior place. Now in Godrumdvip, which is not different from Nandagaon, we meet our very famous personality, that is Premdas Paramahamsa Babaji Maharaj. And he is also an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some people think that Jiva Dharma is a novel and that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes up a story about illusory people who have some relationship with real people, like the real person in Jiva Dharma, they would say, would be Pradyumna Mishra, Pradyumna Brahmachari, who is a personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he's has his associates who are fictitious characters. So Srila Gurudev says, and the purpose, they say the purpose of making up the story is just to create a nice scene for the beautiful philosophy, that the factual aspect of Jiva Dharma is the philosophy, but much of the story wherein the philosophy is told is fictitious. So Srila Gurudev said that anybody who thinks like that has a demoniac mentality, that the actual fact is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his trance, although he appeared hundreds of years later, he, just as Srila Vyasadeva entered into a trance of Bhakti Yoga Samadhi, and the entire Srimad Bhagavatam entered into his heart, or just like Valmiki entered into a trance, and the entire Ramayana entered into his heart, and so he wrote. Similarly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's various books, like Navadvipa Dham Parikrama, wherein Sri Nityananda Prabhu takes Srila Jiva Goswami on Navadvipa Parikrama and shows him place after place, and how Jiva Goswami is weeping and falling on the ground and asking questions. That book and this Sri Jiva Dharma all came in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's trance. So he's only writing as a recorder. He's recording what he's seeing in his trance. So all the events that took place are actually true and real. So here we are. Srila Gurudev says, come with me to Godrim Dweep, where Premdas Babaji is performing his bhajan. What is the significance of Godrum? Drum is a big... Can you hear me?
Hi, Bob.
Can you all hear me? Okay, so it's not fictitious. Okay, so now Srila Gurudev said, now let us go to Godrum. You should all come with me. Offer your pranam in Godrum Kunj, the place of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan stali and samadhi. And then we can begin Jiva Dharma. So now we'll start talking about Premdas Babaji, who is performing his bhajan in Godrum. What is Godrum? Druma means the peepal tree or the aswata tree. And go means cow, or specifically Surabhi cow. After Krishna's pastimes, she brought Indra to this place and performed thousands of years of austerities to receive the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Surabhi cow received his darshan when he was performing Nagar Sankirtan in Mahabhav. This is also the place where Surabhi gave milk to the great sage Markandeya Rishi. So Navadvipa is not an ordinary place. It's the most superior place. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has his own abode there in Nandagaon, Terakadamba. Of course, in Godrudream, Godrum Dweep, but which is the corollary of Nandagaon, where Krishna used to play on his flute and call his various cows, Shamali, Devali, Gange, Jamune, Pisange. And he would also play on his flute and call out, Radhe, Lalite, Vishake. So this is the very most superior transcendental abode, Godrum. So Premdas Babaji is performing bhajan. He would perform 2 lakhs of rounds every day, and he never ever spoke prajalpa. In times when he wasn't chanting or preaching, he would be reading. Reading means reading and speaking from. Prem Vivart, which is written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very dear associate, and which is about the highest mellows of transcendental love. That is, it was written by Jagannanda Das Pandit, and it's about the highest love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also of Krishna and Vrindavan. So Premdas Babaji was performing his bhajan in Pradyumna Kunj, which was named after his own Shiksha Guru, that is Pradyumna Brahmachari. And it's very, very beautiful, full of all kinds of flowers and birds and vines. And there he was doing his daily routine. So, in the middle of his chanting, Harinam, one afternoon, a mendicant named Sannyasi Thakur came and approached him. This Thakur, this Sannyasi, was from Kasi Varanasi, the place of big Mayavadi philosophy. And he was very proud of his learning. He was a Paramahamsa. And he was absorbed in chanting, Aham Brahmasmi Tat Vamasi, I am that very same God. But somehow or other, he wasn't getting any pleasure from it. He wasn't relishing even a fraction of the transcendental ananda or pleasure that he was expecting. So one day, he heard a pure Vaishnava singing with his heart melted and tears flowing from his eyes, sometimes fainting, getting up, walking in a very jig-jag way, not being able to stand up straight, and chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sade Gaur Bhaktavinda. So as soon as Sannyasi Thakur understood that such symptoms could not come from any material means, he realized immediately true ananda, and he left Kasi and he went to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, he decided to go to Vrindavan to search out Vaishnava association. And there he was directed to go to Navadvip. And there he met his Gurudev, who was recommended by all the Navadvip Vasis, all the residents of Navadvip, that he should go to Premdas Paramahansa Babaji. So he went there and he totally surrendered. He didn't have even one farthing. He didn't keep one farthing. He told Premdas Babaji, I am yours now. You are my guru. I have taken full shelter of you. And thus he became one-pointed in full surrender. And Srila Gurudev said that a shishya, a disciple, must be like him. And then Premdas Babaji began to weep and said, O Sannyasi Thakur, I have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sachinandan Gohari and his dham, Navadvip dham. But I am insignificant. I am nothing. I am zero. I have not realized or anything about Krishna Prem. I think that you are more fortunate than I am. This history of Sannyasi Thakur, which I just related, was actually being related by Sannyasi Thakur to his guru, Premdas Babaji. So in hearing this, Premdas Babaji said, "Oh, I am not fortunate at all, but you are the most fortunate, because just by hearing Sri Krishna Chaitanya from a Vaishnava, just for one moment, you realized something and became so fortunate. If anyone somehow relishes Krishna Prem, he is the most fortunate. I have never tasted this. So please remember me. When you're doing bhajan, remember me from time to time." So Srila Gurudev said, this is the perfect example of a disciple and the perfect example of a sannyasi. Premdas Babaji, the guru, was speaking with so much humility. Just see how humble he was, Gurudev said. And then Gurudev said, so try to be humble like him. We can try, but we can't be so humble unless there's prem. Now, saying this and weeping, Premdas Babaji Maharaj embraced Sannyasi Thakur, who then realized the utmost happiness and also began to weep. By hearing Premdas Babaji's sweet words and by touching his body, he began to weep uncontrollably, incessantly. Both of them wept, just as when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu wept, and they both wept bitterly and rolled on the earth. Then Sannyasi Thakur said, "I've surrendered my life, my body, my soul, and everything I possess to you. I want to stay here for the rest of my life and serve you." Again, Srila Gurudev said, a disciple should be like this. He should surrender everything, not hold on to anything, including his own independence. He should totally give up his independence. And Srila Gurudev gave the example of when he joined the Math and met his Gurudev, and after hearing his Gurudev's Hari Katha, he told him, "I have given up all the love and affection that I had for my wife, my father, my mother, for my body, and I forever offer everything unto your lotus feet." And then Gurudev said, hearing this, my Gurudev began to weep. Although I rendered very little service to him, by his special mercy he thought, "Oh, he is rendering me so much service." And because he thought like that, although I am a dry straw, because of his causeless mercy I am preaching everywhere, and so many are hearing from me. Then Premdas Babaji made a proposal to Sannyasi Thakur. He said to him a few days later, "I want to go and meet my Gurudev now, that is Pradyumna Brahmachari, and you will accompany me there. We will go together. He lives across the river in the Sringapali." Although Paramahamsa Babaji was a Siddha, that is Premdas Babaji, perfect in self-realization, as soon as he saw his Gurudev from a distance, he fell down like a stick. And Pradyumna Brahmachari also came running from the temple. He was in the temple of Lord Nrisingadev, and he embraced him. And both of them, in tight embrace, began to weep. And Sannyasi Thakur, he was amazed at seeing the beautiful Vaishnava behavior between this disciple and guru. Now, Pradyumna Brahmachari is not the Diksha Guru of Premdas Babaji, but he's his Shiksha Guru. It's not the Shiksha, not that the Shiksha Guru is any more distant. He can even be more close. He can even be more high. Like, for example, my Diksha Guru is Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. And one of my Shiksha Gurus is Srila Rupa Goswami, and another is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who is considered to be superior? So the Shiksha Guru may be more superior. In my case, Srila Prabhupada is much closer to me by immeasurable amounts than Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in some cases, the Shiksha Guru may be more intimate. Like for example, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's Diksha Guru is a pure devotee named Yadunandanacharya, but his Shiksha Guru, Srila Rupa Goswami, is his very life and soul and his very heart, and he gave him everything. So Pradyumna Brahmachari is the very near and dear Shiksha Guru of Prem Das Babaji. So after some time, a discourse began between them, and Srila Gurudev said, this discourse did not consist simply of, how are you? I'm fine. Well, how's your family? Fine. Rather, they immediately discussed Harikatha. When Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami met, they never discussed mundane topics like, are you okay? I'm okay. Is this body okay? Okay. Rather, they inquired, oh, how is your Krishna bhajan? Are there any problems? How is your bhajan developing? They discussed the books that they were writing, like Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and so on. So, Prem Das Babaji said, just see, he was telling his Gurudev, speaking about Sannyasi Thakur. Now, after they spoke some Harikatha, the disciple, Prem Das Babaji, introduced his disciple to his guru, who is the Param Guru of Sannyasi Thakur. So Prem Das Babaji said, just see how fortunate this fellow is. He is very learned in the six symptoms of philosophy, as well as in the Shastras like the Vedas, the Upanishads, and Puranas. However, although he was so qualified, he was not satisfied there. He left Mayavad philosophy and Advaitvad philosophy, and now he came to me in Navadvipa. He has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa town. Then Pradyumna Brahmachari replied, referring to his Shiksha disciple, that is Prem Das Babaji, he spoke to Sannyasi Thakur. You are very fortunate that you have received such a high class of Siddha Guru. And then Srila Gurudev explains that a guru never sees anyone as his disciple. He never considers that he makes disciples. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that he only makes real gurus. The real guru makes real gurus. He does not think, you will always be my disciple. Whereas the disciple always thinks, I am your disciple. So Pradyumna Brahmachari continued speaking to Sannyasi Thakur. And he said, you should hear Prem Vivart from him. Why didn't he ask Sannyasi Thakur to hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Vedanta? Why not Chaitanya Charitamrita? This is because Sannyasi Thakur's Gurudev, Prem Das Babaji, was greatly learned in Prem Vivart, especially. Pradyumna Brahmachari knew that Prem Das studied, followed, and gave classes in Prem Vivart. And then Gurudev said, do you know the meaning of Prem Vivart? Prem Vivart is the very elevated stage of love that is so high that it looks like there's no love. For example, the author, Jagannanda Pandit, he used to quarrel with Nimai Pandit. They used to quarrel as colleagues and friends, and that quarreling was made of love and affection. Just like Mother Yasoda would say to Krishna, oh, you're such a thief! Krishna would try to jump on her lap and drink her breast milk. And Mother Yasoda would say, you're such a thief, and you're so dirty. Look at you, you roll in the mud with the monkeys. If there's any theft in Vrindavan, you can know it's done by my son. He was the ringleader. So no, you can't. I'm not going to let you up on my lap and drink my breast milk. And then that one, yes?
Do you have any further thought? I think it's just one minute.
Only 1 minute. I have a 9:45. Krishna. So, we were in the middle of Mother Yasoda. Did you hear about that? Srila Gurudev was giving the meaning of Prem Vivart. That is, the love is so high that it looks like there's no love. Like Mother Yasoda would not allow Krishna to come on her lap to drink her breast milk. And she'd say, oh, you're so dirty, you roll around in the mud with the monkeys, and you're a big thief. If there's any big theft in Vrindavan, you can know that my son is the ringleader of it. So no, you can't come on my lap. You can never drink my breast milk. And then Krishna would cry and cry and cry, wailing and weeping. So this looks like there's no love, but it's such high love, because this increases Krishna's yearning for his devotee, which gives him the highest happiness. And Mother Yasoda is doing that so that Krishna will grow up to have good character. If the mother doesn't abuse her, chastise her son, he won't grow up properly. So this is the highest love. So Pradyumna Brahmachari is telling Sannyasi Thakur to study particularly Prem Vivart. So now, a very important verse comes up. When the guru and disciple, that is Pradyumna Brahmachari and his guru, Premdas Paramahamsa Babaji, came out of the temple, Paramahamsa Babaji introduced Sannyasi Thakur when he introduced him to his guru told him to study a verse, actually. When he was telling him to study Prem Vivarta, he mentioned one verse, which is our first verse of our class, of this course. Kiba vipra kiba nyase sudra kene nai jay krishna tattva veta se guru hai. That is, he was telling Sannyasi Thakur to take shelter of Paramahamsa Babaji Maharaj, giving his qualification for being guru. That is, he's expert in the science of Krishna. And only one who has prema can be expert in the science. So now we'll repeat this verse together, if you can repeat after me. Kiba vipra kiba nyase sudra kene nai. Okay, now you all. Kiba vipra kiba nyase sudra kene nai. And then the second line. Jai Krishna tattva veta se guru hai. Jai Krishna tattva veta se guru hai. Kiba, whether one is a vipra, that is a very learned Brahman, or kiba nyasi, whether one is a sannyasi, or no matter where one is in the varnashram division, he may be a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, even if he's a Sudra by birth, just like Narada, he was a Sudra by birth, but he wasn't really a Sudra. He was Guru. So Jai Krishna, one who knows Krishna Tattva, Veta means one who knows Krishna Tattva, say, he, this person, will be a bona fide guru. So the English translation, whether one is a brahmana, or a sannyasi, or a sudra, if he is fully conversant with the truths regarding transcendental knowledge of Sri Krishna, he can become a guru. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila, Chapter 8, the talks with Lord Chaitanya and Rai Ramananda, text number 128. So, if you can kindly all memorize this for tomorrow's class. Unfortunately, I can't call on you. But we learn it. And also, since we're discussing homework, your homework assignment is to read this entire first chapter and to learn three verses. This is one verse. The second verse comes a little later when Sannyasi Thakur and Prem Das Babaji are back in their cottage in Godrum, and Sannyasi Das Thakur asked his Gurudev, "I have a question for you. Now I'm surrendered to you, and I have one question. So I hope that you'll kindly answer that if you think that I'm qualified to hear it." Now, what is that question? The question is that I've heard about Dharma, about religion, the religion of the soul. But every time I hear about it, I'm hearing a different understanding from different teachers. So I have full faith in you that you'll give me the best answer. Because if religion is one, then surely the definition or explanation of religion must be one. So he made actually a humble inquiry. Gurudev explains, what is the difference between a question and a humble inquiry? The disciple addresses the guru, "If I am qualified to hear the answer, then please tell me. And if I'm not qualified to hear, then I don't want to hear. Please warn me not to ask such questions until I'm qualified." This is the etiquette, Gurudev said, of a pure disciple. He does not say, "Oh, you must answer my question, otherwise I will give you up." This is not the mood of the disciple. So Babaji Maharaj replied, "You are actually qualified, and I will try to answer your question according to my knowledge." So, as I mentioned, Sannyasi Thakur asked, what is the real meaning of religion? There's the Mayavadi version, there's the Muslim version, there's the Buddhist version. What is the real meaning of religion? Then, his Gurudev, Paramahamsa Babaji, begins to explain that very, very philosophically, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Person, and all energies belong to Him, including the living entity, who is His marginal energy. He says that the best book for understanding what is real Dharma is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Gurudev quotes the Bhagavatam, second verse of the first chapter, Dharmak prochita kaita vocha paramanimat saranam satam vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayonamulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Parayarishvara Sadhyo Vidyavarujate Kritibis Shushu Shubis Takshanat. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by the devotees who are pure at heart. So Prem Das Babaji is explaining that this is real religion when it's given by Shastra and free from all material motivations. I left out one part of this chapter because I want to get into the philosophy, and I'll very briefly mention that part at the beginning of the next class, how Prem Das Babaji revealed Sannyasi Thakur's spiritual form in a very beautiful pastime. But I'd like to get into the philosophy part today. And hopefully, as the courses evolve, this course evolves and the classes develop, we'll be able to better make use of the time. Number one, we had a hard time because of the actual phone situation here in mainland China and the stopping and starting. And also, it's the first class, so I have to figure how to get the entire chapter into the class. So, Paramahamsa Babaji answered to Sannyasi Thakur. He begins by saying that an object is called a vastu, and its eternal nature is known as its nitya dharma, or the eternal nature of that thing. As soon as something is created, it has a nature, like water has a nature, which is liquidity, and fire has a nature, which is heat. So that nature is called the nitya dharma. When that nature gets distorted, either by some circumstance, force of circumstance, or by coming in contact with something else, then it gets another nature, which is not its real nature. And that nature is called Nisarga. It's the distorted nature. It's never the nature of the object, but it appears to be the nature of the object. After some time, you get so used to it that you think that it's you. So by Krishna's desire, whenever an object is formed, the particular nature is inherent in that structure, and that becomes an eternal concomitant factor. That is the eternal religion of the object. Then he explains that, let's take the example of water. If under certain circumstances, like very cold environment, like if you put water in a refrigerator or in the freezer, then the real nature of the water appears to be lost, and it gets an acquired nature, nisarga, a distorted nature of solidity. If you throw that piece of ice at somebody's head, it will hurt them, but the real nature won't. So similarly, it is the occasional or temporary nature that arises from certain external causes. And then when those external causes are no longer effective, this acquired nature vanishes automatically. But the svabhav, the nitya dharma, that is eternal. That is non-different from the object, from that vastu. The original nature will certainly become evident again at the proper time when the circumstances arrive. So what is the eternal nature of the living entity? The eternal nature of the living entity is service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But under certain circumstances, he forgot that eternal nature or duty. And then he takes to the service of dead matter, thinking, under the influence of the ghost of Maya, I am this body, everything in relation to this body is mine. Haunted by the ghost of Maya. Then, when that fortunate living entity receives sadhu sangha, in that association, his eternal nature is again revived. So now, concluding, now we'll learn two more verses regarding the real nature of the soul. That is, this is the most important verse in the whole Jiva Dharma, the verse upon which Jiva Dharma is based, and that's on page 13 of your book. And this verse is, Jivera Sarupa Hare Krishnara Nitya Das Krishnara Titasta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. The constitutional nature of the Jiva is to be an eternal servant of Sri Krishna. He is the marginal potency of Krishna and is a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from him. So if you can repeat after me, I'll say the line first and then you can say it. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. Okay, together. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. Second line. Krishnara Tatasta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. Krishnara Tatasta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. So, the Swarup, or the original nature of the Jiva, that's us, is Hoy. To be nitya, eternally the das of Krishna. Krishnara means of Krishna. And then he is the tatastha shakti, the marginal shakti of Krishna. Beda means different from, and abeda means not different from, and prakash means manifestation. So, you think that if we are eternally the servant of Krishna, then why aren't we serving him? So, Prem Das Babaji continues to explain. The reason is as follows. Krishna buli se jeev anadir bahimuk atoyeva maya tari deha samsara duk. The jiva, who has forgotten Krishna, has been preoccupied with the external energy of the Lord since time without a beginning. Consequently, Krishna's illusory potency, Maya, gives him misery in the form of material existence. This is a very, very interesting point, and Gurudev explains this quite elaborately. He refers to Krishna Buli Se Jeev. Which Jeev, that is? There's a certain kind of Jiva who forgets Krishna, and not all Jivas will forget Krishna. That is, in Goloka Vrindavan, there's no Maya, so nobody there can forget Krishna. That jiva who is coming from Tatastha Shakti has never been with Krishna. And he has a choice. He can look towards Krishna or he can look towards this material world. And Krishna gives him a moment to decide. I'd like to know how much more time there is, Achyuta Krishna Prabhu.
I think we can do another 15 minutes,
okay. So it's that particular jiva who's in the Tatastha Shakti. He forgets Krishna. Now this is a very interesting thing because generally one can only forget something that he once knew. But we never knew Krishna. So how is it that we forgot him? Srila Gurudev explained that this is called Chandra Saka Nyai, or the logic of the moon on the branch. If you ask me, some child asks me, where's the moon? And I say, look over there. It's sitting on the branch. Obviously, the moon is not on the branch. It's millions of miles away, even more further away than the sun, and according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, even bigger than the sun. So why am I saying to the child, oh, there it is, over there, sitting on the moon, on the branch of the tree? It's just to give an indication. So similarly, this word forget, there's no material language that can properly explain. Although it says forgot, we never actually knew Krishna. We never actually played with or associated with Krishna. So the word forgot has to be taken not exactly in that same way. So Srila Gurudev is explaining further the nature of this real thing, the jiva, and the illusory thing, what is not real. The jiva is real, and God is real, and Maya is real, because Maya is Krishna's energy. Although she is the illusory energy, she herself is real, but she creates illusions. So there's so many manifestations or transformations of Maya, and they are not real. They are called avastava. Avastava means not real. And vastava means real, or a truly abiding substance. God or Krishna is the main quintessence of all truthful or truly abiding substances. And that same verse that we quoted before from the first chapter, second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Dharma Prochita Kaitava Triparamo Nimatsaranam Sitam. The second line is Vedyam Vastava Matravastu Shivadam Tapatrayana Mulanam. That means that the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna himself, is the reality which is distinguished from the illusion for the welfare of all. And the only business of the living entity, who is also Vastu, is to cultivate knowledge of the supreme quintessence of all Vastu, the Vastava Vastu, the origin of all truth, of all real things, that is Krishna. And we have no other business than to cultivate knowledge and service to Him. So, within the realm of avastava, or unreal things, these are products of Maya, which is real. But these products are not real. They're temporary objects, and they're not the reality. They come within the category of dravya, or solid objects, and qualities, which is a quality of something. Like, for example, a microphone. Gurudev had a microphone in front of him. And he said, the microphone is avastava-vastu. It's not eternal. It will change into something else. And it was something else at some point. And it will be something else at another point. And it has certain qualities, like it's hard, it makes a certain sound when you knock on it, and it can produce sound. It has certain qualities, but it's not reality. If we take shelter of these unreal substances, this is like taking shelter of a dog, holding on to the tail of a dog who's trying to swim across the ocean. A dog can paddle a little bit in shallow water, but it can't swim across the ocean. So we can't take shelter of it. So Gurudev explains that although our spiritual being is imbued with so many wonderful and abiding characteristics, in our conditional life, various natures arise, and they are false. You're mean, you're nasty, you're sweet, you're cunning. These are all false things. Whatever one judges in the world to be good or bad is all false perceptions. Such manifestations are mundane, they're not transcendental. The existence is there, it exists, but it's changing at every moment. In the material world, nothing remains the same forever. The body took birth, the next minute it changed. We don't realize this, but this is the truth. But a vastu, the real thing, is that which never changes, even in millions and billions and zillions and gillions of years. The Atma has no change, and the Supreme Soul has no change. So how does Krishna have so many different pastimes, and he grows up, and sometimes he cries? So why do we say that he has no change? Because there are special, unique qualities, specialities, but no change. Whenever the perfect devotee sees Krishna, here's an example of no change, but special qualities that are always new and fresh. The devotee thinks, whenever he sees Krishna, he thinks, oh, I have never seen Krishna before. How beautiful! I have never seen such a wonderful sight. Even Srimati Radhika will see Krishna and exclaim, who is he? Is this a sapphire mountain? Is this a fresh rain cloud? And Lalita will reply, oh, you don't know? You have just been on the lap of that very tricky boy. But then Radharani will say, no, I've never seen such a person. How beautiful. And then Gurudev tells the story. Once Padma, the Sakhi of Chandravali, came to Lalita and Vishakha to glorify Chandravali. And she said, oh, my Sakhi Chandravali is so fortunate. Today we saw the beauty of the whole form of Krishna top to bottom. And then Lalita said, oh, I'm very sorry to say that my Sakhi, Radhika, is not so fortunate. Because if she sees Krishna's nose, then she cannot even move to his eyes from the nose. She gets so lost at the nose, because it's always manifesting newer and newer features. And if she looks at his cheeks, then she becomes fixed on his cheeks. So my Sakhi has never seen Krishna fully. So then Padma became very upset, because she could see that the consciousness of Radhika is more glorious than the consciousness of Chandravali. So in this way, the vastu things are unchangeable, but at the same time always fresh and new, and always revealing new aspects of that changeless substance. It's inconceivable. It sounds contradictory. It's inconceivable. As Prabhupada said, if God does not have some inconceivable things, then what is the meaning of his being God? So how do we understand it? Gurudev said, as long as you think you're a lady or a lad, a man or a woman, you'll never understand it. So, let's see. Should we ask for questions now?
We can open up.
Okay. So, are there any questions from the transcendental audience?
Unmute the floor and ask the question, please.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Anyone has a question?
Yes.
When you say Gokul,
is this Vinay Prabhu?
Yeah, this is Vinay Krishna.
Okay.
See, when you say Gokul, who is a cow? And Druma means, what do you say Druma is?
Druma means a tree, particularly the people tree or Aswata tree.
Okay.
And Go is Surabhi cow. Because Surabhi went to Godrum after Krishna's pastimes. She brought Indra there and she did austerities. They did austerities for thousands of years to
to get the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. And then she did get the darshan of Mahaprabhu.
Did you have a question?
Okay, is this the very same Pankaj Prabhu, Padmanabha Prabhu? Dhanavad, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Just a question, like, basically I was reading Jayadharma first chapter yesterday. I was going through how Sanyasi Thakur, he got a saloon even before he's taking Diksha. Actually, he didn't even take Diksha, he just took Shikha. And he saloon just by sitting next to Babaji Maharaj. So what qualification he had, because he was told that he was a Mayavadi Sanyasi. And immediately he got a saloon and later on, he's asking these basic questions like, what is the Nitya?
Do you know, actually, this is the one question that I hope nobody would ask. Because I had the same question. So, well, let me just see if we can speak on the speaker. Hold on a second. Okay, I actually had the same question. Because the part of the Javadharma that I didn't say due to the time element was that when Sanyasi Thakur came to see Premdas Babaji one day, Premdas Babaji was weeping and he was absorbed in the Shantalila, and he was absorbed in the pastime of Radharani sleeping with Krishna on the bed of flowers. And the various birds and so on, monkeys, were interrupting their sleep. So Radharani said, oh, you should just crow. The what is that? That would crow? Who crows? The chickens? Cock-a-doodle-doo? The roosters? The roosters would crow. And Radharani would say, oh, just go and crow in hell. And then the rooster would stop for a minute and she'd say, oh good, he went to hell, he stopped crowing. So there are so many beautiful pastimes. And then the monkey comes and says, Jatila is coming, Jatila is coming. And then everybody gets afraid and they wake up. So Sanyasi Thakur gave an instruction to Premdas Babaji gave the instruction to Sanyasi Thakur to participate in the service of his Swaroop in this pastime as Raman Manjari to quiet the monkey. So it's explained in our book that he understood his constitutional position at that time. And then, a page later, he asks, I don't understand about Dharma. And then even later, in the next chapter, he says, I don't understand, is this Prem Dharma of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the same as the Isht of the Muslims, of Islam? So it was very strange to me, and I was thinking at the time, I have to ask Gurudev, is this the correct translation, or how do we understand it? So I think what I'll do today is we'll write to Bhajanath to ask Srila Gurudev and see if we can give you the answer on that tomorrow. That's a very good question. But I once asked Gurudev myself a few years ago, how is it that he advanced so quickly, even though he was a Mayavadi sannyasi? So Gurudev said previously, it could be in many past lives, he was already at a very high stage. But then somehow or other he, in this birth, he was a Mayavadi. But actually he was on a very high stage, just like even, who is that devotee who was almost on Prem Bhakti, Virva Mangala Thakur, in his previous life. And then somehow or other he fell down. And then he was born in a Brahmin family, and then he got involved with a prostitute. But because of his previous life's activity, he picked up so quickly, and he immediately came to Bhava Bhakti. So Premdas Babaji, Sanyasi Thakur, was also actually very, very advanced, and that's why in a moment he was able to realize. When he would ask a question, Gurudev said, Gurudev explained that the reason he said, if you think I'm qualified to hear, then tell me, and if you think I'm not qualified to hear, then I shouldn't hear, don't tell me, is because when a disciple of that caliber would ask a question, then when the guru would give the answer, it would actually go into the disciple's heart and he would realize that. Sometimes, you know, I'm kind of infamous for asking Gurudev so many questions. So I said, so Gurudev wouldn't answer my question once, and I said, but Gurudev, you asked so many questions, and Sannyasi Thakur, he said, if I'm qualified to hear, please tell me. So Gurudev said, that's a special devotee who asks that kind of question. When he asks a question and gets the answer goes into his heart, and then he can ask the next question, because he's already realized that answer. But when you ask a question, you just ask the question, you get the answer, nothing happens, and then you just come up with the next question. So he was very, very advanced already, but just covered by some circumstance, some maybe past life's activity that made him have to go through the Mayavadi sannyasi stage. Is that okay? So hopefully tomorrow, or if we don't get the answer, then the next day, we'll have a good answer for you all on that one. That's a good question. Any other question? Or any suggestions of how the classes can be better for you all? Because this is only our first.
Yes.
And I don't really know what I'm doing.
I have a few quick notes for everyone who is on the phone. Didi, can I go ahead?
Yes.
The first note is on the website there is a typo about the mute and unmute. Please make sure from tomorrow everyone use 5 for mute so that there is minimum disturbance. Second is, if you have any feedback or any comments, as Didi said, today is the first day and we actually thought we had enough minutes on our calling card and then we found probably not. So hopefully as every day we will try to do more and more better. So we'll try to seek Didi's mercy. So hopefully we'll try to improve more. So if you have any feedback or comments, please let us know. Please email me. I can put together anything which is, we have to do, we'll do it. If there is something that we can do from Didi's point of view, I'm like the setup or the phone or whatever, I will relay that to her. If you have questions that you didn't ask, you can email me. I can put them together, email Didi. Or everyone has Shamarani Didi's email as well, you can write to her as well. And then there are tasks for every day. If you go to the website to log in using your ID and password, go to My Studies, go to My Enrolled Course, go to My Tasks. And it has like day one, E1. That means day one, assignment one, day one, assignment two, day one, assignment three. So just to quickly say, day one, assignment one is read chapter one. So if you have read chapter one, please click and update your status. And day one, assignment two is memorize shloka 3, 11, and 12. Shloka 3, 11, and 12 are in the course document, which is like a summary of chapter one. So if you have memorized shloka 3, 11, and 12, please update your task. And the test right now, which is your third assignment, is not chapter-wise. So for now, you can skip the test on chapter 1, chapter 2. At the end of day 5, you can take one test which have all the 5 days. That's all, Didi, I have.
Okay.
Let's go want to say something.
Okay.
Ooh, this is Bhagavad Gita, does that? Prabhu?
Who is this?
Yes, go ahead, Prabhu. Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, now in the web, the students can really take every chapter until 5. So what I did, and for every chapter, I've actually separated those questions into different chapters, so they can actually take the test for every chapter.
Oh, excellent. So, everyone who, this was Raj Prabhu, Bhagavati Kanta Das Prabhu. He has done our website, just spent day and night working on this website. So what he just told was he has segregated the test, the trial test that you see on the home page, which is basically all the 5 chapters together, now is also available chapter by chapter if you go under My Studies, My Enrolled Courses, and My Tabs. So you can take a test every day after you have read the chapter and after you have heard Shamarani Didi's class.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. This is Shanti Prayana. I actually took the test already, and I have a question for Prabhu who set it up. I got one wrong, but I don't know which one it was. Is there any way to set it up so you can correct your mistake? Not change your score, but go back and find out what you did wrong.
Right now we are in the preliminary stage, so as we go, we are actually planning to really put a lot of improvement and a lot of plans in progress. And in fact, I really thought about that also, because at the end, even though it is giving a summary right now, it is by just a count. So eventually we are actually going to do that.
And okay, and also after day 5, I will email you the whole test with the correct answers. And like, as we wait for Bhagavati Kanta Das Prabhu to do this in the website to let you know which one is wrong or which one is right, or if you did a wrong, what is the right answer. At the end of the course, I will send you all the questions, the right answers. How about that?
Well, though today was
that's great.
I had Gurudev's lectures to explain everything.
Thank you very much.
Questions, suggestions?
But there is great story, just like Shamarani Didi and you and Bhakti Prabhu, everybody has done a great job actually. Setting up this course and, you know, getting everybody together is really great.
It's all the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev.
Did they hear me?
It's all the mercy of Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Please forgive me whenever I say anything wrong.
Alright, so we're going to connect the conference call now. And we'll join back again. For every one of you, please join 10 minutes before the conference call. And Shamarani Didi, we will connect at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Pancha Kalvachubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Hari
Bol.
Hari Bol. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the bells are good with Gurudev's festival in Pennsylvania next year. If Gurudev goes there.
Next year?
He was the one who suggested it. He was the one who organized this. Mm-hmm. He was the one who made the presentation for Gurudev's festival.
Yeah, he'll be a good organizer.
Between him and Vinay and Vishnu and
if they will
Pankaj.
They were planning only on that year.
Yeah, if Gurudev
does. If Gurudev does, then I think he'll be good. He'll do a good job.
Yeah. Finished. Phew.
It's good.
I'll keep this in here in case I forget it.
Yeah, that's good. That
extra.
We'll get a couple more pairs when we get back.
Where's the other glasses? Everywhere. Didi?
Huh?
Where's the other glasses?
Still recording.
What are the glasses?